Tonight.
Hi everybody, welcome back. I just can't get over that theme song, seriously. Episode 3, Cricket Tonight, Season 4. Welcome, Pralab Gupta, as always.
Hi, how are you, Army? It's been great so far. Yeah. Interesting few weeks in cricket. Looking forward to getting into it.
Definitely. And welcome back. Oh, no, it's not Gov anymore. We've demoted Gov. Welcome, Pukit Gupta.
Thank you very much, Army. Good to be here. Good to take Gov's place while he's up somewhere else in Europe.
Yeah.
He's been demoted. Affiliate status.
Yeah, I would say big shoes to fill, but I'd be lying. No. Gov's not with us today. He's actually in Amsterdam, in Netherlands, doing some field research.
Yeah, I've got my younger brother here. Whether it's the inferior, better brother, who knows? Or like the Yusuf Atans in the world. Not sure, but we'll get into
that. We know in terms of ability what's better and who's better, but you know.
Yeah. So we've got a lot to sort of get to today. Starting off, of course, with the India-West Sri Lanka Test Series. I don't know how else to describe this, but it was a complete blowout. There wasn't much of a competition at all. India didn't have to bat twice, except for one match, and they dominated every single game. You know, Sri Lanka, they had some good performances here and there, but they were very far and few. India had performances from Shikhar Dhawan, who was a man of the series. Jadeja had a good series. Rahul had another good series again. The list goes on, sort of. Everybody that sort of played had a good series, except for Sri Lankan. So, over up to you guys. Would have any thoughts about the India vs Sri Lanka Test Series?
Yeah, look, as an avid Indian cricket fan, I don't usually miss any games watching him, but this is the one series I'm prepared to miss and not really watch anything live because it was that much of a demolition. I just sort of highlighted the gap and the difference in the cricketing nations in terms of test matches, at least. And I thought Mohammad Shami was a real standout, you know, as he continued his dominance for Indian cricket bowling as well. And I think he's going to, you know, he's not too old. He's still at that age bracket where he's peaking in his bowling. And yeah, he's done really well. Anything else, Prab?
Yeah, look, it's one of those interesting ones where I go back to the last series India played against Sri Lanka, closely for a 2-1 victory, India's first victory in Sri Lanka. Then this series, where it was just a, as you mentioned, Army, a demolition. India batted once, they won by an innings. In all honesty, if they'd been forced to follow on in the first test, they probably would have won by an innings 3 tests in a row. So it's yeah. One of the most comprehensive routes there. The big benefit for me was seeing Shami return. Hardik Pandya, big 100. I think he's going to be very important for India's overseas tours coming up. On Sri Lanka side, there really isn't many positives. They had a couple of players who offered some resistance. But the reality is they still have leadership issues. Herat's still their best player and he's not going to have long left. I don't see much of a light in the tunnel for Sri Lankan cricket at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. I'll ask you as a question. Was this more to do with India's dominance or Sri Lanka's inaptitude?
I think it's a combination. So India is a very, very good team. So this test team has very few weaknesses. They've got an expert bowling lineup. I think the bowling lineup of the fact that Bhumesh Kumar, who I think is a first 11 player at times as well, he's missing out. On the back of Shami and Yadav being really good is great. Then you've got your spin bowlers. You've got Kuldeep Yadav who came into the squad. He picked up 4 wickets. He's not first choice as well. Even the batting lineup, like Shikhar Dhawan, who made 100 in this test as well. He's not in the first choice 11. No, Hardik Pandya, an all-rounder, making a debut series, and he had such an amazing debut series. So it's an amazing team at the moment, and they're building something special with a new coach, Ravi Shastri, who Kohli likes as well. And then you got Sri Lanka, who's had a few injuries and things, but, you know, let's be honest, right? They almost lost to Zimbabwe, a month ago?
Exactly right. They were lucky to win, to be honest. They had to break some records to just beat Zimbabwe, which is a team that barely plays any test cricket. Really surprising. There's really, you know, from Sri Lanka's point of view, as you said, Pralab, there's not much to sort of look at. There's not much really bright spots. I think Chandimal has got a lot to learn as a captain. It's, you know, putting him in a tough position where Matthew sort of unexpectedly just retires out of nowhere. And, you know, Chandimal was actually in contention for the captain, for captaining back when Angelo was made captain, and that didn't happen. So, you know, there's a lot for him to go through, and there's not that much experience. As you said, Herat is there, but, you know, India made Herat look like he was, you know, a third division kind of bowler. He wasn't, you know, like
Rishi Dhawan there.
Yeah, that's right. Shikhar Dhawan from the first game just got him out of the attack, and then after that, he probably did himself a favour, to be honest, and not play the third test. You know, injuries, there were injuries, let's not discount that. They did have some injuries, like had consistent injuries, you know, Pradeep got injured, Herat played injured, they lost a player, you know, in the first match. You know, there wasn't much that went right for them. You know, they lost every toss as well. But even saying that, to lose by an innings every match and not even make 200 in the second inning, in the last test match, in the one that they can take some pride from, some kind of comeback, nothing. Just, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty bad. I think in terms of that question, it does highlight that Sri Lanka has got a lot to learn. And I think in terms of... we just got to accept that Sri Lanka's in a rebuilding phase right now, and it will be for the next few years. And, you know, India has done well. They played really well, you know, completely wiped Sri Lanka off the floor. But in saying that, I think it really highlights Sri Lanka's weakness more than India's dominance in this series alone. Because, you know, we saw when Australia, a good test series, you know, was played in India, which is more of a strength for India as well. It was pretty close. You know, India might have been a bit, I guess, lucky here and there to escape through. So I think we can't really know India's dominance. It can't be tested as much until India does go outside of the subcontinent, which, you know, it's pretty cliche to say, but that's just the facts in the end of the day.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I guess with India's composition, and Prahlad, you kind of touched on this with sort of the depth they have. How do you think India's future is looking right now to actually go overseas and in, I mean, overseas in sort of foreign conditions, not like Sri Lankan conditions, with the makeup they have with the bowling and even the batting? What do you feel about Hardik Pandya? What do you feel about Rohit Sharma? Would he be someone that's still in contention now?
Look, it's a good point. So India's traditionally touring overseas have had three challenges. The first has been their seam bowling attack. I think this seam bowling attack is on par with the best in the world. So with Bhuvi, Shami and Umesh Yadav, three frontline seamers. A fourth seamer is still a question mark. I'm not necessarily sold Ishan Sharma as a right option, and the fact that he's no longer playing in the team is evidence of that. Yeah. Then the spinners, and you've got Ravi Ashwin, and he's now taking a county stint in England, which I fully support, and that's going to be really good to see, because India's weakness has been the spin bowler as well overseas. Mm-hmm. So one of him, Ashwin, and Jadeja's in talks with the county as well will be really useful to say, and if not, Kuldeep Yadav potentially could do something over there as well. And then the other one was the all-rounder, where India's really lacked that, and Hardik Pandya, I think, has all the tools and talents to do it. It'll be interesting. It's his first series, so I'm not necessarily sold that he'll do really well, but I think he is the sort of player who will be very important for India. And then from the batting side, India's traditionally lacked a second opener who's been good. Like, Vijay in the past has done well, but the second opener hasn't done well. I think Lokesh, Vijay, maybe Dhawan, whoever's going to end up being the top two, are quite useful. And then the middle order, and you look at Pujara's done a great job overseas. Rane's averages more overseas than in India. The weakness is Kohli at the moment, you'd say, with his current form and his performances in England, for example. But you'd think that the player that he is, he'll actually start doing a lot better. And then the numbers, then it just comes down to the question of the composition of the team. Do you have Saha at six? Do you have Ashwin at seven? Like, how does that all work? Do you want to play Rohit Sharma, or do you want to play someone else out there? Or do you want to introduce someone else instead of Rohit Sharma, like a Shreyas Iyer, for example, although Rohit Sharma has done nothing wrong, and I think he'll keep his space in any squad.
Yeah, look, it's interesting you raise the point, firstly, about Hardik Pandya being the all-rounder. India has lacked that. I think Virat Kohli, in an interview, said that he's very similar to Ben Stokes of England, and, you know, he ticks all the boxes as what you want, you know, in an all-rounder. He hits 140-plus per ball. He's got a big shot in him, you know, he can hit a big ball at any time. You know, when India's doing well, you know, 500 for three, he can come out, hit a quick 550 or 100, as we saw off 96 balls the other day. So I think it's really good. India's future is in good hands in terms of the all-rounder component. You know, again, Ashwin doing county cricket, that's great. You know, he has struggled outside of India. And I think it's a genius move by Virat Kohli, sending him there, and Ravi Shastri, the
cricketing minds. Like, why isn't he playing county cricket, given he struggles in England as well?
Well, look, I think Virat Kohli's record speaks for itself, you know.
It's 18, I think, in England.
In England, yeah, but he's only had, you know, one or two proper series. But since then, he's matured, as we've seen. He's, you know, done really well in Australia, in other places. And when India does go there again, I think he can really show that now that he has matured and is batting, you know. I think he's made a few adjustments as well in his batting.
But could it be possible that he could have just simply given this ODI series a miss? It's not relevant. The World Cup's 2 years away. Why doesn't he just skip the entire ODI series and just head to the county circuit and play a few games?
Look, it's a good question, but I'm not too sure as to why. But, you know, if you can lead your cricketing nation and you feel like you have that energy, you know, he's still young. It's not like he's going to get any younger tomorrow or next year, where he might actually need to be missing things, like, you know, how Dhoni did at the end of his career. Lost a few stats, lost a few series from that as well. But, you know, so I think the mindset of wanting to play every game, winning, that's what I want in the captain that I'm rooting for. I think that's great, yeah.
Yeah, look, Kohli has a pretty big workload as well. If you compare him to Ashwin, who's not really a member of the ODI, he is a member of the ODI team, but he's not a guaranteed first choice. He's not in the T20 team at all. He's not captain either. So Kohli's workload is quite a bit. That's another thing, and you know, that's one thing to take into consideration. One thing when you mentioned sort of Ben Stokes, it's such an advantage for any team to have an all-rounder that's a semi-all-rounder and a spin all-rounder. If you see sort of Moeen Ali and Ben Stokes, they're two players that no matter where you go in the world, they'll play. And that's something that sort of India is sort of trying to emulate. Fortunately, they actually have three of them in Jadeja as well. So it'll be interesting to see that battle between Jadeja, Kuldeep and Ashwin to see who actually does sort of... Because Kuldeep showed he can handle the bat as well. That was another positive. You know, he came in and provided great support for Hardik Pandya, which is required.
It's a good point because I remember actually Dhoni made this comment last tour. So India went through a string of 8 losses overseas in England and Australia. And one of the comments he made was that India's lower order doesn't stay around and doesn't actually put on any runs versus other lower around the world do. And now you'd say India's lower order is probably the best in the world, given it bats down to number 10 almost.
Even Shami, you could say, can hold
the bat. Shami can hold the bat. So it's been Kohli's molded the team really well. One thing I will give him, when you look at his how the test team is, Umesh Yadav has become a revelation in the last 12 months. Shami, Bhuvesh, he's backed in all his players to do really well. And his form as well, you'd expect to improve because he is a class player and he has done well in Australia. It's just England's the only question mark and you'd expect that to be addressed going forward in the next tour in June, next time around.
Yeah, Kohli's done a really good job for the team. I definitely agree with that. He's sort of... Umesh Yadav, who probably is the biggest workhorse in Indian cricket that I've seen in the longest time. He's played in every test series, every ODI series, IPL and Champions Trophy non-stop from like maybe a year now. So that's ridiculous. I'm happy that he's resting the series out because... It's good to give sort of some of the bowlers a chance. Speaking of which, we can...
Although having said that, you go, I'm going to shout out. On the other hand, you got Lokesh Rahul, who's injured all the time.
Just
two polar opposites.
Just quickly on that, Army, like you said, Kohli's captaincy, you know, he's done well, moulded the team, etc. I think it's good, like everyone was saying, you know, Kohli's calling the shots in regards to Anil Kumble and how, you know, he was sacked and things like that. So I think, you know, he is calling the shots, but that's where the responsibility is on him. So, you know, if he does the right thing, India does win, then it's, you know, credit to him. If he doesn't, then... You know, it's you can blame him for failure as well. So I think it works both ways.
He's very accountable. He does to take blames when he does. You know, his off-field stuff is sometimes a bit questionable.
Very emotional.
Very
passionate, guess, you know.
Which might be because, you know, we're so used to seeing Dhoni and that's the complete other extreme. And even previously, before Dhoni, you know, like Kumble and...
Ganguly as well.
Ganguly was a... bit of a hothead as well. Standing up, keep on thinking.
I think Kohli will learn. Like, I think he's a mature cricketer, and his comments after the India and Pakistan Champions Trophy final where they got destroyed were actually a lot. Yeah. I think they were quite reasonable. Versus in the past, you'd think he'd just be very hotheaded, yelling on the field and things like that. He seems to have calmed down a bit, and hopefully, he will calm down a lot more because he does need to evolve as a leader.
Everyone has their styles, I think. You know, and it's good. You know, he's aggressive. Dhoni was, you know, a bit submissive at times, and that led to India's downfall as well. You know, he's a great captain, most successful one for India, but everyone's got their different styles, and different isn't always bad, as we can see. Look at other sports, you know, Conor McGregor coming from UFC to boxing, you know, different isn't always bad, you know, so...
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, look, it's very good. I'll just sort of mention something with the Kohli and Dhoni debate you guys have got yourself involved with. and that's a debate that sort of keeps going on for probably... Even after Dhoni retires, I guess we'll probably be hearing about this.
Right. It's a big debate, and it's great. It's testament, right? We've had so many great captains in the last few years for India. It's been chasm for about 20 years, but now we've had quite a few really good ones.
Yeah, but Kohli's, as Puk was saying, it all depends on his style. And Kohli's style is much more aggressive, I feel, and he's much more about winning. And I think you sort of see that in today's game. It's more about that. We don't see that many five-day tests anymore. Tests are only wrapped up in 4 days because teams are able to make faster scores and take quickest faster.
And having five bowlers, that's implemented by Kohli, his strategy, you know?
That's right. I also agree with that as well. And, you know, players like Shikhar Dhawan, he's a big supporter of Shikhar Dhawan.
Yeah.
Before the series, he said he's an impact player. Hardik Pandya, again, he said was a, you know, he was a guaranteed in the first 11 because of the fact that he impacts the ball, bat and the field as well. So I guess we'll just move on to the ODI series, which is, you know, hopefully Sri Lanka can get some redemption. They've had good history against India in the one recent game.
Well, I mean, they were pretty much practicing for the series in the test match, right? The Indians are playing.
So what are you guys' thoughts on the sort of the ODI and the T20 series? We have some changes as well. So, you know, what do you guys think about the likes of Chahal coming in, Rishabh Pant sitting out? If God was here, I'm sure we'd be celebrating that the fact that Yuvraj Singh and Dinesh Karthik are not in the squad anymore because he's not their biggest fans. But, you know, Akshar Patel is back. That's great to see.
I think it's good Akshar Patel's back. Chahal as well, some good spinners who are quite young, who, you know, are the future of India, will be getting a chance under the backing against a team that isn't, you know, is sort of struggling at the moment. So it really gives them a good platform to showcase themselves to the world. Yuvraj Singh getting dropped, I think, you know, it is maybe time. He didn't have that good of a series in terms of the Champions Trophy where India lost to Pakistan. But in terms of overall, I think, prediction-wise, I think India will win. I'm not too sure if they will win every single game because there is a lot of changes. And, you know, Sri Lanka, shorter format, you know, have done better in that compared to Test matches, obviously, where there's a big skill difference. You have, you know, Shami, Ashwin, Jadeja. India's all bowling stocks are pretty much rested for this series, you know, and fairly so. You know, you're playing against Sri Lanka who, you know, could possibly be, if there was a two-tier system, in the lower tier. So, yeah, I think India will win, you know, most games. However, I do expect it to be much closer. And I expect, I do expect India's batsmen to dominate, however, in this. And their bowlers might struggle a little bit because, you know, it will be the first few times, you know, really, really carrying the load of being the main strike bowlers. But I expect Chahal to do well because he's a great spinner, as we've seen, throughout the IPL, throughout playing limited overs. And, you know, that should be good to watch.
Yeah, look, it's been, I look at the Champions Trophy, India picked short-term decisions like Yuvraj Singh, Dinesh Kartik, just to see if they could lift that trophy, and it almost went all the way where they lost in a grand final, a game we're still trying to erase from our memories. Now the focus is on 2019, and I think the selectors have made a brave decision, and the correct decision, which is Yuvraj Singh will not be part of that squad, therefore he's out. Dinesh Kartik will not be part of that squad. I'm also not necessarily sold Ashwin and Jadeja will be there. Like, one of the most teams are actually doing a lot better with finger spinners or wrist spinners. And you've got, you know, Kuldeep Yadav, Chahal, the two that they will be vying for that spot. And it's also good that the players are going out to county cricket anyway, just focus on test cricket. And then the big question mark really was the Dhoni versus Pant decision. And Pant, I'm not necessarily, I still think Dhoni potentially has a role to play in the 2019 World Cup. It's not clear whether he will be there. But it was good to hear the chairman of selectors to say he really needs to perform or we need to look at other options. And I think that's a valid point. He's still, for me, the number one keeper for India. He's also the number one batsman who can bat at four as well. But you can't have him, Yuvraj Singh and Kartik, for example, in the same squad. Yeah. So Pant, unfortunately, had a really poor A series. So he needs a lot of development to do. It's good they will go back to domestic cricket. He'll spend a lot of time there. I believe there's another A tour being organised, he'll probably spend some time there. And Manish Pandey, who I rate very highly, in fact, we had a big conversation on this last podcast with Gav, who was talking about Kedar Yadav as Pandey, but I'm really excited to see Pandey back in the squad. And one thing I can see why Kohli's in the team, because the team's now in transitioning, and maybe that's why he's decided not to play county cricket. But I would be very interested to see Virat Kohli make zero runs almost the entire series. I'm not driven by the fact I want to see him fail, but more because I want to see that middle order actually bat. Because the reality is Kohli has dominated so much in ODI cricket. In the top three, have Rohit Sharma, Shikhar Dhawan and Kohli. It just does not give the other batsmen an opportunity to bat. So I'd like to see them either switch the order around or just rest some of those players throughout the course of that five ODI series.
Yeah, look, it's a big series, I think, for some of the Indian players. As we sort of mentioned, Chahal and, you know, Akshar Patel's back. That's good to see. And we have sort of a lot of new blood and sort of, you know, blood that's coming from before. And as you said, Pralab, we've moved away from sort of the old short-term solutions. We're looking at the long-term ones. It's probably a huge series, I think, for probably MS Dhoni. Because he has, last test match, we saw him get a 50 off 100 balls, which is unheard of in the modern game. Really, really unexpected from Dhoni. Like, we all know he has sometimes, you know, difficulty starting off. But that sort of happened throughout the entire innings. It's very, very strange. So Dhoni has big innings for him. The spinners is good to see. I'd like to see how Chahal goes, of course. From was there any other players? Yeah, of course, Manish Pandey. We talked
about what are your thoughts, Pukit, on Lokesh Rahul and where he fits into the team?
I think
he's dynamic. I think when you look at him, he's got the class, the potential, the stamina, the fitness, the patience. He's got everything for a good or a great one-day player and even a test match player. He's dynamic. You know, he's a match winner. He's not someone who, you know, he'll get a 50 off 100, like you said, but he's someone, you know, who'd be getting a runner ball. And when I look at him batting, it sort of does remind me a bit of some flamboyancy. Like, it reminds me of, he's got that skill like Kohli does, maybe not to that extent. He doesn't have the But maybe the patience in ODI cricket to really show it. But he's done, you know, he's done all right so far, and I think he should really be looking to dominate this kind of series because it's about a time he does so as well.
I mean, where would he bat?
Look, I'd put him in his position that he's batted all along opening.
So you drop Shikhar Dhawan and Rohit Sharma as one of the two away from the opening slot.
Well, if he's gonna play, I'd play him as an opener. So I mean, Gull's pretty big about this. Our colleague, he's pretty big on having Rohit Sharma back down the order, and that's something I also agree with. Because I mean, he's done so well up the order. I know that's fair, but like his, I mean, honestly, you want to have Shikhar Dhawan and you want to have Rohit Sharma in the team because they're both just one of two of the best players. But, you know, Lokesh Rahul is not only the future, but he's also the current as well. He's performed so well in all the formats. Of course, with him, there's always an injury concern. So having him opening the order might, you know, mean that he can maybe play one or two games. And after that, he's broken his back or something like that.
But, how do you justify Rohit Sharma coming down the order when he's made that many double hundreds? You can't, like, how do you justify that? Because, you know, Rahul hasn't made a double hundred. When he does, he makes, you know.
Rohit's now vice captain as well, actually. He's a big leadership step up for him. India's traditionally not named a vice captain. And now Rohit seems to, like, he's appointed, and I'd suggest that might be an appointment towards the 2019 World Cup.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's very hard to, I mean, it's a very tough question to include Rahul into the team because of the dynamic opening. So I guess there's two options. Either I think Shikhar Dhawan has to be an opener. That's clear. He's comfortable as an opener. He's made an impact as an opener. And I can't see him coming down the order. The only question would be whether you would move Rahul or Rohit down the order. Obviously, Kohli bats at number three. So you'd have to either get one of them batting at number four, well, I guess. Yeah. Or
Even Lokesh. I actually don't mind Lokesh down the order because he's one of the players. So Rohit Sharma, to me, he can't come in and hit the ball from the ball one. He needs a bit of time before he does it. And that is a challenge for him and Dhawan, because one thing they do struggle with is rotating the strike. They're too much of a, I'll hit a four, I'll hit a six, but as opposed to take a quick single. And Lokesh Rahul would be useful at the top of the order because he would push that. But I'd be looking at it as Lokesh Rahul batting at five or six potentially, because he can come in, hit the ball around. He's a solid player who can deliver long innings as well. But if I look into India's team, you've got Shikhar Dhawan, Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, number four, I'd still have Dhoni up there at the moment. And then five, you go into either Lokesh or Manish Pandey. I've still got five or six there. And Kedar Yadav. To me, you know, it's probably a question of Manish Pandey versus Kedar Yadav. We had a chat about this last podcast with Gavin. Yeah, I'm a big Manish Pandey fan, but Kedar Yadav hasn't done anything that shows that he should be dropped. He's a good player, but be one of those. I think out of those two spots, you'd go Lokesh Rahul, Kedar Yadav, and Manish Pandey fighting for two spots at the moment. And then you move into the rest of the bowling lineup and Hardik Pandey and some of the players. But it's a very good lineup.
I tend to, just on that, not agree with Rahul coming to five and six because he's too good not to. He's not a finisher. Yeah. We've seen that. He loses control, concentration when he's on 60-odd. You don't want that as a finisher coming in, striking from first ball. The other option that could happen is, you know, we did say, one of the selectors said, if Dhoni doesn't perform, that, you know, he might be out the doors. You know, we know KL Rahul likes taking the gloves as well, you know, coming in number four.
I'm not sold on it. One is injuries concerns. The other one, I've actually seen him keep, and he reminds me of Partha Patel. And I don't think this is fair on Partha Patel because he had a really good comeback to the Indian team, but it reminds me of him years and years ago where he used to miss all these stumpings and drop catches, and he was actually a reasonable keeper. Lokesh Rahul's like even further away down the category. He's one of the worst keepers I've seen, and brilliant batsman, amazing, but he's got a lot of work he needs to do if he wants to be in the team as a keeper. I'd go Ajinkya Rahane ahead of him, or even Kedar Yadav as a keeper ahead of Lokesh Rahul at the moment.
I would go Kedar Yadav. He was keeping it on.
I think he's
maybe not Kedar Yadav. I don't like Kedar Yadav anyway, so he can be out of the team.
Kedar Yadav was keeping for the Royal Challengers Bangalore, and I got to see a few games for that. Oh my god.
But boys, anyway, series prediction scores. So for the ODIs, what do you boys reckon?
I'm going to go India with a clean sweep.
Clean sweep. Look, I'm going to go India 4-1. And one interesting point to note is that the 2019 World Cup qualification stage will kick off in the next month and a half.
Yeah.
And right now, Sri Lanka and West Indies are kind of fighting for that last slot into the automatic qualification in the top eight. Mm. And Sri Lanka need to win, I believe, two games, and then they secure qualification for the World Cup. So I feel they will go hard. So I'm actually going to revise this prediction so that they'll still probably only win one game. But then that will leave the West Indies to beat Ireland, which you'd think they should. But they have to also beat England 5-0 as well, which I don't think they'll do in the ODI team. So it looks like the West Indies may end up having to qualify, and Sri Lanka will probably be safe. But you look into the squad, I mean, yeah, look, they got a bill for that World Cup. It's not a great squad, but it does have a lot of talent. The ODI squad's a lot better than the Test. And that middle order has been really good. Some of the big titles they've chased down in the even Champions Trophy, is testament to the fact that they do have a strong squad. They brought in a couple of all-rounders. Tesoro Pereira, who's back. Sorry, Pereira. He's back. Their bowling's always a bit of a weakness. But you'd have to ask a question on Lasith Malinga. Is he still the effective bowler he is today? Should he be in the team? Or should India look past him right now or not?
Sri Lanka. Should look past him, yeah.
Yeah, Sri Lanka, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think they'll win one game. I'd give them one just because, you know, India's bowling depth isn't that great. Oh, I mean, I don't mean depth, sorry. I mean their experience right now, you know, none of them have really carried the mantle of having to, you know, bowl 10 overs, get 3-4-4, and, you know, being the strike bowler. So I'll give Sri Lanka one game on that basis.
Yeah, so it looks like we're all favouring towards an India win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, if Sri Lanka do get one game, that'd be great. But I mean, I expected a better fight back for them in the last game of the test match, where they couldn't even put up 200 runs in one inning. Oh, that's just embarrassing. So, you know, if they're really down with the confidence and their morale is so low, then that's not going to help them. And there's also the T20 that they're going to play as well. Do we want?
I think it's one. I mean,
yeah, there's not.
Nothing major. I think it's one of those exhibition games, but yeah. It'll be good to see how India approach it. I actually would have liked to see Pant in the T20 squad. So my view is, you know, Dhoni's still important for the 2019 World Cup. I don't think he's important for the T20 team. So I'd actually look at exiting Dhoni from the T20 team entirely and having Pant come in there and keep, or even maybe some of the, you know, Lokesh, if he can do something with the gloves and actually improve. But even, yeah, so that's the only change I would have made. But maybe they're trying to save an accommodation or an airfare across India and have Pant play somewhere else. Or he's off to the A-Tour or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, nice. So I guess we've touched on a lot of Indian Sri Lankan cricket. We'll sort of go to our...
We'll have plenty more to talk about. Isn't there a return series for this?
Huh?
There's a return series as well,
yes,
right?
Exactly. We should probably mention that. There's a return series, and I'm sure Sri Lanka's celebrating at the fact of that after being swept 3-0 in a test series. They can't wait to go to India and...
have it done again.
Yeah, have it done again, basically. Yeah, so I guess we'll be talking about this again soon, and I'm going to say unfortunately, to be honest, I'd rather them go to South Africa and get some preparation time rather than play a meaningless series in Sri Lanka. Hopefully they put together a B squad. I'm honest, I hope, you know. Maybe, you know, Dinesh Karthik makes his way back.
Two-tier system, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's a good way.
Is that an army been propagating for the two-tier system?
Yeah, I was having a discussion with the army before the podcast. Two-tier system could actually work, you know. It's a good way to segregate, you know, just, I guess, quality, skill. Definitely. And it's just something to motivate you as well, right? As a team that's in the lower tier to motivate you to get higher up, you know.
Yeah.
And then you can really be seen on the world stage bigger and people will actually watch more as well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea in theory of the two-tier system, but you also look at the ICC. Ireland just got test status. Afghanistan's just got test status. It's really up to the bigger nations to actually play these games against the weaker teams. Mm-hmm. But what I do question is how often they play them. So I'd go, you know, this return series is a great example of being completely unnecessary, but it should be the case that maybe if you're in the bottom tier, or if you had an unofficial tier system, which they seem to have, you play one or two test series, and that's it, but you don't sort of play a giant series. You don't play six tests against the top nation over a period. So there should be some sort of link to that. And I think the ICC is working towards some sort of test championship table where you do have certain certain games you play against each other. Although when that happens, who knows with the ICC.
That's been a discussion for probably as long as I can remember right now. Look, I'm a big, big believer of the two-tier system. I think it should have been introduced a long time ago because...
We're trying to do it with the podcast with Gav being away.
Yeah, exactly. He's up in the second tier. We're experimenting right now with the podcast itself. So, you know, congratulations, Pukit. You've made up the ranks. But, look, I don't see any point of India playing Sri Lanka at home or away because the difference between the teams is way too much. And I want to specify, this is more for test cricket, not for ODI cricket, because in ODI cricket, we've sort of seen the West Indies surprise people, Pakistan surprise people from low ranks. But for test cricket, because it's a five-day game and the competition is much harder, the best teams usually find a way to win. And as we saw sort of Sri Lanka, they weren't in the same tier. They were more of the same tier as Zimbabwe.
That was compelling cricket to watch. That was one of the best test matches I've seen, right? So you almost go... Right. You're right. When you have the tiers together, or you have teams playing who are on a similar difficulty level, it's just a lot more compelling cricket. So it does make sense to have some sort of unofficial system. But I wouldn't want to have a scenario that we've had in the past where Australia, for example, will never play as Bangladesh or Zimbabwe and other countries.
Yeah, but I mean, that, like, you know, if India was to play Zimbabwe, let's say, for instance, would that really be much of a... It'd be great for Zimbabwe because they're getting cricket, but from a viewer point of view and even from a competition point of view...
Yeah, maybe to the one test, that's all they play. It's a one-off test against these other countries, and then once you move up, you kind of get to play 3, 4, 5 test series.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that as sort of compromise kind of thing, because it is good for them to get some level of... Because, I mean, as you said, Ireland and Afghanistan are now test cricket nations as well. So for them to get more cricket... You know, if they're playing the likes, if they start off the series, if they start off their test career playing South Africa, England, India, New Zealand, these kind of high tier teams, and they get completely demolished, that's not going to be good for the morale. They might just think that Test cricket is too hard for us.
Yeah.
Whereas if they were playing more against the Zimbabwe's, Ireland's, the West Indies, Sri Lanka's, Pakistan's even, if they make that tier up, then you sort of, you know, level it out and you can gradually make your way up.
Yeah, whereas, even something like playing, you know, if you're in lower tier, playing the teams in the lower tier, and then as a motivation, you know, if you do get above the other teams in your lower tier, then you have a one-off against a certain team or a few teams, and where you got to perform in a certain standard to make the other tier.
Yeah.
You know, which could be some motivation as well. And something, obviously, it's not really heard of before. You know, it hasn't been put into practice, so it's, I think it won't be coming anytime soon, but yeah.
Yeah, all good ideas. I think we should definitely apply for the ICC and
get some of this rerun the ICC. Yeah, there's been a few changes here and there.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start up our own cricket league. yeah, so I guess we'll go to the, we have a section for Around the Globe where we talk about cricket. Outside of the India...
There is a world outside the BCCI in India, that's true.
Yeah, there is. So we're looking at... We'll start off with the England versus West Indies Test Series. We just started off. It's a very one-sided affair so far, but the big story behind this is it's the first day-night Test match happening in England. We've seen them happen in West Indies, and we've seen them happen in New Zealand so far. And they've had huge success with crowds coming out, filling up the stadium. And this one was nothing different as well, because it makes sense for, you know, to watch cricket after workouts for a lot of people. So what are your thoughts on specifically day night cricket first?
Yeah, look, I think it's great, you know. Imagine coming out of work, having a full, you know, or nearly a full game to watch of the best type of cricket there is, you know. Yeah. Often we see that with ODI and T20 that, you know, you can come after work and watch it, but you barely get to see test match cricket unless it's on a Saturday or a Sunday if you're working. Sure. So I think it's a very good idea, and it's being put into practice slowly, and, you know, it's gaining momentum. And, yeah, I think they should keep on doing this. You know, every series have one or two test matches where they can, provided the resources are there and the volume of crowds are there as well. They keep doing this. I think it's a great initiative, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I remember originally when the concept of day-night cricket came about, I wasn't overly a big fan, being a big traditionalist, but I've now grown to like it. Even when players like Rahul Dravid, for example, are talking about test cricket needing to evolve, you need to evolve it as a nation, and I think it's really good. So day night cricket, it's great for the consumers, great for the viewers, great for everyone involved. And the one good thing we've seen with day night cricket, and this test is probably not a great example because England's wrapped up like a 500 runs or something in the first innings, but it often has been really good for the balance between bat and ball, which you don't traditionally see in test cricket. So the game against Adelaide that Australia hosted versus might have been South Africa from memory, it was a game that was a 3-day shootout.
That's
and I think that's really positive to see. So I'd like to see that introduced a lot more. All the countries are looking to trial it. The ball's been the big issue. It's really hard to get a ball that replicates the red ball, and the pink ball seems to be the one that looks the best. But even in India, for example, the Ranji Trophy and Duleep Trophy, they've been testing out a lot of this pink ball cricket. And I'd like to see it in every single country out there, because I think the future is day-night test cricket at some point in time. So once all these trials come in, I think you'll find outside of the major holiday time periods like the Boxing Day in Australia, for example, or time periods around Christmas where people are on holiday, I think everything will eventually switch to day-night cricket. So I actually think test cricket needs to evolve. Day-night cricket's one of them. I think we need to explore four-day test matches as well. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean in the sense that we reduce the number of overs. You might reduce 10, but it's more trying to get players to play, you know, 100 overs, 110 over days, and do it over 4 days. And I think that's more from a certainty perspective. You start every game on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You then have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, and therefore you just have a three-match series that runs over three tests, as opposed to maximise viewership as well. But that's something that needs to explore down the track. What I wouldn't want is something where the overs start getting reduced, because you do need test cricket to be the longest format as well.
Yeah, look, definitely agree. It's been good success. I think from a viewership point of view, it's been really good. And for the game, it's been really good, because it's, you know, test cricket is a place where sort of it's only viewed by the hardcore cricket fans now, and a lot of sort of casual fans don't get that much into test cricket. But day-night cricket is a way for, you know, bringing in more fans to enjoy test cricket again. As you said, Pukut, it is definitely the greatest form, and we like to watch this form more than any other form. So the more popular this form gets, the better it is for cricket. We were just talking about two-tier cricket, and here we are with England versus West Indies. England on 514 for 8 declared. You know, Cook's made 240, and there's been a complete show. Of course, Joe Root's always in there.
Although what's interesting is, so England are struggling to find the second opener, and Stonesman has come in, but the reality is they need to sort that out before the Ashes coming up this summer, because they still haven't got a solid second opener. And even number three, I think, is still a question mark for England. So they've got Root and Cook as the two mainstays, and you got Stokes in there as well, and probably Bairstow and Ali and a few others there. But that batting lineup still is a bit fragile at the moment for me.
Yeah, definitely. For the openings, yeah, they can bring back Nick Compton.
I remember that guy. He was a solid slow player, but his probably time period's evolved a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think the game has changed a bit. But England, I mean, this series is probably the best indication of what quality of cricket they're in. But we all know the quality of England, and we're going to sort of see them soon against India coming up not too far away, which will be pretty good. Any other thoughts, Pukit, about
that? Yeah, I think on that, so they made 541, as you said, for it declared, and Cook, big double 100 Root against, the main two that generally score runs. But I think I'm not sleeping on West Indies here. I've seen them do quite well against Pakistan recently in a Test match series that came down to the last over before they gave it away. I think Royston Chase is a great batsman. He's still to bat in this Test match series. I think for West Indies right now, it's all about just finding a few positives.
Yeah.
They had Darren Bravo as well. I think he might be injured at the moment, but not in the team. And Royston Chase and a few other players. Keemar Roach's back, big Roachy. I think he's bowling quick. Got a few wickets as well. So some good positives for West Indies. That's all you can really look forward to and take out of.
It's a valid point. Like, I don't think West Indies will go as bad as Sri Lanka did against India, because they are still they're a team that takes a lot of pride. Like, often questions are thrown to them, their mercenaries, they only care about T20 cricket, etc. But there's a lot of pride that comes out of it, and Darren Sammy and all the other players are used to play the West Indies. You could see that pride in when they won some of the ICC tournaments, on how much everyone. The reality is, and Australia saw a bit of this with the pay dispute, but there's so many issues happening right now in West Indies cricket, and it sounds like some of them are being resolved because a lot of the players are getting amnesties and they want to qualify for the 2019 World Cup. But it sounds like things are on a better path, but there it is a really tough environment to work in West Indies cricket, and I think they do a pretty good job.
Definitely. I think we've got to give the players credit, because we do sort of look at the final scorecards and we see, West Indies got pulled out again, they didn't put up competition again, and we see this story. But the reality is, as you said, Chris Gayle doesn't really play for them, who may be one of the best players that have played for West Indies for a long time. Chanderpaul's not there anymore.
Yep.
A lot of issues. A lot of the main players, Karan Pollard, of course, is not always available. And you could debate how good some of these players are. Mm. But the fact that they haven't even been given an extended run is something that's a bit disappointing. They do have if those players do come back, then they actually have a lot of depth. Because they've had a place where they had a lot of development to this new sort of batch, and they've had, like Royston Chase, for instance, he may not have been in the team if all the old players were there.
Yeah.
So that's a good situation for them.
Yeah. It's a good point probably you make about them having grit, because they do have a lot of grit and determination. They don't just falter when they are tested and questioned. I think it comes down to two main reasons. Like you said, firstly, it is the hard conditions they're all going through. But secondly, more importantly, I think it's because they have dominated world cricket previously.
Yeah.
They have that expectation of they need to get back up there. They're probably not going to get back up there anytime soon. But once you have a certain level of pride, you always want to get back there and try to make it as well.
I agree. It's good that you agree with me, because I'm usually right.
It's a good point too. The West Indies, it's not even a country. You have to remember that. True. This is a collection of islands. This is the Caribbean, that they represent different countries, and they've been put together to play for a team. So there's that national pride is a bit different in their case. When you compare it to, say, England or India, which is playing for a country. A lot of this West Indies scenario is very different to a lot of other countries. I guess we'll move on to the other big series that's interesting for us, which is Australia versus Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, if our friend Gob was here, he'd probably be pretty happy about this series, because he loves Bangladesh probably more than anything else.
look, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a close series. So Australia has struggled in the subcontinent, although a series against India was one where I generally thought, going to that last test, any team could win it. And so that will be really interesting with Bangladesh. I'm glad it's happening. The pay dispute's over and they're definitely going. Some question marks on Australia's team at the moment. There's David Warner, who has not performed outside of Australia in the subcontinent. So it's a question of how he's going to perform across Bangladesh. It's really the last chance for him, I feel. You should really reconsider his position on a way
towards... Big call there. Yeah. Big call.
Look, I'll be honest with you. David Warner, he's a brilliant player in ODI cricket limited formats, but in Test cricket, he is really, really struggling. And I think Australia need to make an assessment. I don't think they'll make an assessment until after the Ashes, but on David Warner, whether he's the right person to lead Australia overseas. And then you have Usman Khawaja, who was, for example, sat out in the Indian series due to his subcontinental record, but his record isn't any worse than David Warner's, for example. And he's apparently going to come back in at number three now as well, as Steve Smith said. Ashton Agar's there. It's going to be an interesting squad at the moment, and I expect it'll be a very, very good battle. I think Australia might just edge through it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Bangladesh pinched a test or two.
I think it's important when you're talking about David Warner's last chance. Like, they pretty much rely, Australia do rely on Steve Smith heavily, as we know, and, you know, stats can show that as well, especially in the subcontinent as well. So, you know, when you're really pointing fingers at David Warner, I think you've got to really look at all the other batsmen in the top six as well, not just David Warner. Because just because, you know, he's expected to do really well doesn't mean he is going to do it all the time. And he's not the only one to blame when Steve Smith doesn't make runs. It's all the other players as well. I think
potentially it's also the approach he takes. Like, I found Renshaw, for example, opens with him. He probably averaged similar to David Warner, a bit higher in the India series, but he adapted his game in order to perform well. He sucked in a lot of balls and he got better as the tour went on. I find David Warner, he hasn't gotten any better as the tours have gone on. He still struggles with the same ball.
I think you're talking more about his style in that case, because he does play aggressive cricket, and that's how he's made his name. That's why his name is David Warner. That's why he's in the Australian cricket team, because he's got all the success he has by doing a certain way. So if you're going to go away from that, then, you know...
You look at Matthew Hayden when he was successful. He had a poor series in India. He came back and he started to learn the sweep shot, and he actually had a really good series. So he adapted his game style to do it. And I find David Warner simply is not doing enough. And even in the commentary he keeps talking about, this is my natural game. Steve Smith said as much. He's adapted his game style, but all the players adapt.
I think there'll come a time when he will realise, maybe after this test match series against India, he has thought back on it. Next time, maybe he does go, not particularly maybe to Bangladesh, but somewhere like India or Sri Lanka, he might look at adapting that or getting coached.
I certainly hope so. Although next overseas series, he'll be at home watching the cricket on his OLED TV.
I think it was a big call, because David Warner is also one of the most senior players in the Australian team.
He's vice-captain, I think.
I think he's vice-captain. There's not that many. The Australian team is actually full of a lot of sort of young players now that they've sort of lost. They've tried to experiment with a few players, it hasn't worked out so well. So now it's really Steve Smith is the most experienced and the most, which, I mean, seriously, after... If you think back to Steve Smith when he used to come to India back in the day, would you think that he's like the number one batsman in the world the most reliable?
Amazing.
Yeah. Starkey's still injured. That's a big blow.
There's a few players that are injured right now. There's a lot of stuff happening.
A few coming back. I think Cummings, Hazelwood. So it'll be good to see some of them come into. Hazelwood may be out as well potentially, but it's one of those where Australia, look, they'll have one eye towards the Ashes, and they've got a few question marks in the team, but they also still need to win overseas as well. Darren Lehman actually sent out a letter or something, just saying we've had an average year and we need some help from different people, and just feel free to contribute towards the team's success. Mm-hmm. It was more of a comment to ex-players to really go, hey, start helping us rather than just criticising us in the media. There are some question marks on Australia, and it'll be good for them to answer some of them. And you look at the England versus West Indies series, as England's got a few question marks to prepare for the Ashes, then Australia with Bangladesh. But the Ashes coming up will be massive this summer, and both teams, if they can understand what their top, I think, 12 or 13 players are at the end of that series, will be brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. From a Bangladesh point of view, I think this is a great opportunity for Bangladesh, because they have been riding high for quite a long time now. They're not sort of the team that we... Well, you know, too bad Gov is in here because he's a Bangladesh specialist, but I'll try and do my best to sort of...
It's ironic that he's going on this trip overseas and he's not going to Bangladesh, his favourite nation.
Yeah, that's right. We should have gone and actually watch him. But, Bangladesh have a good opportunity here. Obviously, they have a lot of talent. They've always had a lot of talent, and they've started to put it together. Test cricket, they've been doing much better at recently. Mm. You know, they had a win against England recently, which was a huge win for them. And, you know, when they went to India, they weren't like Sri Lanka. They stood their own much better. They were able to, you know, compete quite well, and then in a challenging situation. So I think Bangladesh do have a good chance of winning this.
Yeah, I think, look, they're the best positive for them is they're playing a team that's really not too sure in terms of conditions in the subcontinent, such as India, Sri Lanka, and mainly and importantly, where they are playing in Bangladesh. And I think... If the Tigers do come out, or the Lions do come out roaring, sorry, the Tigers, the Bangladesh Tigers come out roaring, then, you know, first few days, put Australia under the pressure and, you know, get the spinners going early. You know, anything can happen. So I think Bangladesh could cause an upset here. But I guess we really got to see how Australia go. Steve Smith makes some runs. So I fully expect him to, because he's a quality bat. I think Australia should just be okay.
Yeah, I'm probably going to tip Australia as well, mostly because of Steve Smith, to be honest. It's a short series as well, so it's not like there'll be much time for adjustments and things like that. So if Steve Smith has a great game, then that might be enough. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this test series. Probably more than I did the India test series. So it'd be pretty good. So that's probably it. That's sort of that's happened in cricket. One big thing we have to talk about is, and this is a very topical question. Who are the best brothers in cricket? Because as we know, we have two brothers right now. Who might be the
Well, we know the better one here, but let's talk about world cricket. Let's talk about world cricket.
There's a sledge made. I think it was might have been to Mark Waugh in one of the test messages where he made some comeback to some player, and the other player went back to him and said, "Oh, you know, at least I'm not the
I think it's at least I'm the best cricketer in the family.
In the family, that's right. That's the sledge there, and that's just a funny one. But.
Yeah, I'm sure you get that a lot. So.
Look, I like to think that this says that I'm more of the overseer. I've got the tactical genius. I can understand the placements, and I can do what needs to be done in the big games. Although, having said that, we both lost grand finals recently, so it's not too much bad.
You can talk to talk, but we know who walks the walk. So that's end of the day. But yeah, so best brothers in world cricket. What do we think? We've had Steve Waugh, Mark Waugh. Recently, currently we're what, the Pandya brothers?
Yeah.
Because there's not too many other brothers going around that are both playing world cricket,
right now, I don't think there's too many. Historically, there's been a few others.
The Flower? The Flower brothers? I think that's a very good case as being the best.
Unless you can just use everyone's surname and go Sharma and then combine two different players. Although, if you go with Rohit, who would you pick? Ishan Sharma? Probably not. Who's another Sharma who's pretty good? That's you, isn't it?
You're Anusha Sharma?
So who? That the grandfather, Andy Farr, is a pretty good one. There's Brett Lee and Shane Lee, if you want to remember that.
they're probably the best musical brothers.
That's a good one, yeah, they're the best musical brothers.
The thing is, when you talk about brothers, like, if one's so great and the other one's not, like, you talk about Steve Waugh, Mark Waugh. Like, Mark was decent, but Steve Waugh was, a class above, so can you really count that as...
I guess you'd have to compare the best and the worst, I guess, so the top and the bottom.
I got Grant and Andy.
Grant and Andy?
The two Flower brothers.
Or the Chapel.
If you go all the way back, there's actually quite a few there.
There's many, yeah.
I mean, how about in modern cricket? You've got Hardik and Krunal. Krunal Pandya hasn't debuted for India, but he's up and coming at the moment. Like, he's played in the A-team.
He's an older brother as well.
Yeah. Is that it? Like, are there any of the brothers around at the moment?
I think Ishan doesn't play anymore, does he? No. Umesh still has a place in IPL cricket.
Yeah.
Umesh, he kind of plays in the IPL cricket. But,
we need more brothers.
Oh, you've got, the Agars are a whole family. Oh, Sean Marsh, Mitch Marsh.
I'm not sold on Sean Marsh. Like, I think he's dropped from the squad, right?
I'm not sold on Mitch Marsh.
Yeah, same.
Sean Marsh is a quality bat, I think.
Look, I think he's a quality bat. He looks great when he's in. And I'd say he should be looked at for the limited overs teams. Mitch Marsh, for me, is... I think he's a good player in limited overs format. I don't know why he's around the test team. And I think Australia need to move on. He's injured at the moment for a year. Cartwright and a few others are in. You've got Maxwell's the other all-rounder in that position. But I'd go, it's time to move on from Mitch Marsh. From test cricket, not necessarily. From limited overs, he's still an important player.
Yeah, that's probably... I think that's probably all the brothers that we can sort of think of. So, yeah, if you have any other... If you can think of any other brothers or you have any other comments... about us, about the podcast, please get back to us. We appreciate the support, like always. Special thanks to Pulkit Gupta.
Thank you.
What's our email? cricket.tonight6@gmail.com. So send us emails. We love getting them and love reading all your feedback. It's definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, been a pleasure to be here. Shout out to my friend Pranay, who's been listening to every single podcast. It's been really good and really good fun podcasting today.
Yeah. So thanks again, and thanks to everybody listening. And
hit us up on email.
Yeah, get us up on, contact us on email, and we'll be back with you in a fortnight.